My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clofus, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clofus. And then there are the small moments, the slow mornings spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code ANDYSCROLLS through December 31. There are no skeletons in my clofus. But there are shoes.
I have a taste for luxury. And by luxury, I mean cheese fries.
Do you have a preferred establishment from which you procure said fries of cheese?
You know, it's tricky because cheese fries are typically crinkle cut, which are not my fry of choice, but it makes sense for so probably Shake Shack.
Okay.
Just because it's accessible, can't go wrong.
I have to say a big part of my childhood was, well, teenage years, was going to the Outback Steakhouse in East Greenwich, and then we would dodge traffic and run across the street to go to the Showcase Warwick and go to a movie. And Outback's cheese fries, I don't remember why I love, it was like, because I actually can't do cheese, but like, it was just, I think, a regular fry with cheese.
That's the dream.
I got without the bacon and they had a side ranch. So I would go with a friend and we would have cheese fries and then go to a movie. And it was like amazing. Heaven on earth. Like life will never be better than that.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't imagine having it as an adult though. I don't like the idea of ruining a potato and defouring a potato in that way. I just feel like let the potato live on its own.
Potato and cheese is one of the great pairings.
It's
a Vicky and Tamara.
I honestly think the aftermath of me having a cheese fry at this point in my life would be similar to Tamara's dead face. I genuinely think I would just, my skin would start melting down.
You have to train your body for it. It has to be braised. It's like Joey Chestnut with the hot dog thing. You can't just dive in and eat 70 hot dogs. You have to train the muscle. And it's same with cheese fry. Your body has to be braced for that experience.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot to take on. It's a lot of rich to take on, which my tongue just can't do. My delicate spirit just can't do it.
That's fair. It's a lot.
Although, you know what I did love when I was a kid? Potato skins. Again, without the bacon. Phenomenal.
Yeah, that's another great potato cheese.
That is a potato cheese I can support.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's
with
a different...
sour cream?
100%.
Yeah. Well, then that's really double homicide. That's going to...
I need someone to figure out a way to make, because it's gluten-free, gluten isn't a problem in that scenario, a vegan potato skin. Because I have the world's best, I use Forager for vegan sour cream, which you can get at Whole Foods and wherever. It's fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. But I need someone to create a vegan potato skin. I really do. I need that in my life in order to just continue on. It needs to happen.
The science just, that's where we need to focus our energy, because I think that's probably the hardest vegan thing to do, because to get cheese to do that specifically, vegan cheese, so that I imagine is an uphill climb.
Because it's a cheddar, right?
Usually, yeah.
Okay. So if there are any scientists out there, if you can stop working on vaccines, cures for illnesses and whatnot, just hit pause and take a moment and try to figure out melted cheddar cheese and how to release that on a global scale, because I don't want to have to make it. I want you to send it to me.
And I'm agreeing as an ally. I want no part of this. I'm okay with how things are, but I think, you know, everyone should have access.
You know what? And speaking of access and allies, what better intro to talk about this week's episode of Orange County? You guys, it's Andy Scrolls. It's episode 585, 586-ish, maybe. And I'm so excited to have one of my favorite guests back in the clawfist. You know him as a Bravoholic and writer whose credits include Vulture, Vogue, The Cut, and the LA Times, among others. Words are fun. Welcome back, writer girl, Tom Smythe, as I love to call him. Tom Smythe. Tom Smythe, how are we?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Listen, I just went on a little bit of a journey. I was in Rhode Island for a couple of days. Last night, I decided to binge what is essentially 90% of The Perfect Couple.
I just started that.
And isn't that, what are
kooky,
your thoughts?
Kooky, crazy.
Kooky, crazy, bananas.
The opening credits.
It's like a Bollywood energy meets Snapchat. What's the other one? TikTok.
Yeah, well, not even TikTok. I feel like it's very 2013 flash mob, Bollywood.
Yeah.
But in a murder crime show, so completely out of place.
Yeah.
Did you see there was I think it was Variety, basically all of the actors organized a WhatsApp group because none of them wanted to do it and they were trying to get out of it, and they were all like, this makes no sense, why are we doing this, we don't want to learn choreography. And it's like they had, it was after the strike, so they had paused production for like 8 months, came back, and then this normally would take like 2 days to film. And the director was like, no, we need it for the show. And she filmed it in like an hour and a half.
Wait, I thought you meant they created a WhatsApp to get out of doing this show. And I was like, yeah, nods in agreement. You know what it is? So I don't do like edibles or anything. But if you did do edibles, this would be the show to have an edible and then watch. Because I don't think you should, if you are interested in having an elevated out-of-body experience, I would almost require that if that's something in your life that you hold dear before watching whatever the fuck it was. And why can't Nicole Kidman release her hair? Why is every show recently involving wig art? Because it's I don't know.
She's obsessed.
She is obsessed, but it's so obviously a piece that it's like distracting to me.
Yeah. And then, I mean, she's a triple threat. You got a wig, you got an accent, and you got a limited series, murder mystery. Her three favorite things in the world, hits on all three. She's doing this Lisa Vanderpump impression the whole show.
She is.
Not the whole show, because her accents go in and out. But that's the target, I think.
Yeah, I am. Unfortunately, I'm almost like filled with regret in saying this. I did get back from Rhode Island yesterday, late afternoon, early evening. And I have, in fact, finished 5.5 episodes of the 6-episode part limited series, The Perfect Couple on Netflix.
Like, you got to do it.
I'm almost there, because it was one of those things where I was like, I was so excited because the cast is fucking incredible. Oh, yeah. It's like all of my favorite people in a show. So I was so, so excited, but I also hadn't heard a lot about it. So then I was like,
trailer came out like 2 days ago.
What we need to do is, I would love to have you back and do a Taking It Personally about it. Because I don't want to like...
Yeah, we're getting so deep.
We're getting so deep into it. Please come back like literally second that you finish watching, which will probably be in a normal amount of time. I'll be done with it essentially through osmosis by the time we're done with this Andy's Girls. Because it is, again, it's on Netflix. It's Liev Schreiber, Nikki Kidz. It's just really... poorly done, unless we're watching sort of like a drag performance of Big Little Lies, where we know it's a joke and it's like a heightened, artistic, incredible impersonation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
where it's like
sure.
beautiful art, and it's comedy. But I don't because if we're watching this as anything other than some sort of still poorly done satire, we have gone terribly awry.
Yeah, it's full like parody, essentially, of the genre.
Do you think that they know that?
No.
They don't know that, right?
No, I think...
If they knew it, it would be great.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe some of them, when that dance scene came along on the call sheet, they were like, oh boy. But I don't know if it was, you know, enough that it's... And the thing... And Megan Fahey's in it, too, from White Lotus. And I just... There's so many shots of her where I'm like, they're trying to just recreate that, like, famous White Lotus shot of her.
Yeah.
They're just taking, like, the pieces of all of their other shows of the same nature, trying to, like, do another.
It's honestly like How to Make an American Quilt, because you're just putting together all of these different... There's some Big Little Lies, there's some White Lotus, maybe both seasons. There's some like other stuff happening.
Undoing same director energy. Did The Undoing.
Well, that honestly sort of although she has regressed.
Oh yes,
right. It's tough, but I'm so glad that they all got paid a bit. You know, they got paid a fucking shit
for
ton,
because
they deserved it. Because I think keeping, you know, like it Dakota Fanning's in it for reasons that don't make, because she's so incredible. So I'm like, sweetie, what are you doing here? What is anybody doing here? What are we doing in this?
She's killing it, though. I will say she's delivering.
She is. She's doing great. Yeah. Like
she's on an island.
And she's on an island. She's doing great. And they're the gentleman whose name I forgot in it, who is the fiance of U2's kid, whose name I also forgot.
I was like, this is Bono's daughter, I think.
Who is incredible, who's on that Apple show.
Oh my God, that's so... I love that show so much.
I can't remember the name of it. Yes.
Yeah,
she's incredible on Bad Sisters. She's great in this.
Yep.
But when I saw the gentleman whose name I forgot, the actor who plays her fiance, I was like, oh my God, because I love him so much that I don't know his name, but I love him so much. So I was like, oh, this is the perfect storm, because I love U2's daughter.
Yeah.
I love this guy. I literally love the entire Donna Lynn Champion from Broadway.
Oh my God,
Sweeney
yes.
Todd, which I saw 4 times. Die for her.
Yeah.
She's in a thankless role. There's some Broadchurch energy there with her pairing with the cop. They pulled... All of the, it's like if you ask someone.
It's like if you ask an AI bot to like.
Yes, summarize.
Watch all of this and then make a new one. It's that. It's like you could see the threads, but everything's a little off and a little too on the nose and a little this. Yeah. It's
interesting they had to take a break because of the writer's strike, because I would argue this was done entirely during it, where they're just like, come up with an idea and play it out, because we can't have any writers on set.
It probably was. And it was, I think the break was the actor strike.
Oh,
I may have misspoke, but yeah, I think so. That could explain a lot, is if they were filming during the writer's strike, so they couldn't have someone on set to like
help
fix
them.
It. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's, I cannot more highly recommend it, obviously. I'm watching every episode because I am an ally of Nicole Kidman. Like, I will support her in everything she does. We never got another AMC commercial. It's okay. Maybe we will. We probably won't. Have we? Did we ever get one?
I don't think so. But they really made a big deal out of the fact that we were.
Right.
And then, honestly, maybe there was just like a recut Because there definitely wasn't another outfit, but I feel like they cut something at one point. I don't know. They talk a big game about that.
I want to have her on a Taking It Personally episode. Mm-hmm. Nicole Kidman, if she's available. Nicole, you're always welcome.
She was outside waiting.
God damn it. That's why I was delayed. Because I was like, let me get myself together.
No, I said, I'm booked. You're bumped.
I just want to understand the hair pieces. Because it's so obviously a piece. And we've seen her hair before. She has beautiful hair. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, why not?
And it's adaptable. She changes it all the time.
She does.
So it's... She can do it.
You know what? Maybe like a bloodhound, you know, like their scent, their sense of scent is so strong that maybe when she reads a script and she knows it's not going to be good, a la Undoing, which flopped at the end, even though I've watched it 2.5 times, and this show and other stuff, and she knows they don't deserve my hair. And I think this is the route we go on. Yeah. She doesn't want to spend a lot of time in hair and makeup. She barely wants to film the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess this is a podcast about Bravo a little bit. but it was, suffice it to say, got back from Rhodey, started watching Perfect Couple on Netflix, the show that you may have heard us talk about just for a moment or two. And I said to myself, this episode's going to be tough for you as a Shan stan. Give it a night. Start the day fresh as a daisy, ready to just tuck in and experience what happens. And I watched it. Then I did a light clean of the apartment. And then I watched it a second time. And I think it was a tough app.
For sure.
I think people, understandably so, could consider it one of the more devastating episodes that has aired of recent. Curious for your thoughts.
For sure. For Shannon specifically. I mean, this show essentially is just a series of unfortunate events for Shannon Bedore. Like, I just, time and time again, I just can't believe what she goes through on television. And this was really, from tip to tail, just when that MacBook flew out of her suitcase, when she was packing it on the street, I knew we were in for it. And that was the least of her worries.
When her luggage broke, when she broke, was it Louis Vuitton? Something.
Yeah.
Probably. And I just kind of thought to myself, Shan can't even, she can't even bring her emotional baggage with her because it doesn't fit in the case. Like, that's a tough, that's a tough kind of journey to go on. Yeah. I mean, she is really a woman on the verge. Like, we're watching her and I almost feel like it's a stretched out, like Gumby version of Taylor Armstrong. Remember when she was in the suitcase when they were on vacation and her, talk about theatrical hair, her hair was kind of like, and she was obviously unwell and kind of spiraling, and with Kim Richards and like that during the post Russell, everything was just, or pre post Russell at some point.
Yeah.
It was very, very devastating, I think, to watch, because I think the majority of the audience saw this woman who was not, was very delicate. She was very delicate.
Yeah.
I feel like we're watching a stretched out version of that.
Yes, for 10 years.
Okay. Well, she has had some good times. There have been some good times.
She's great at sprinkling in the good times.
Yeah,
but her arc as a whole is remarkable. I mean, it speaks to her strength and resilience that she's able to like find those fun times and like whoop it up in the midst of, but like truly, I mean, David started the affair the day after she started filming. Quite literally.
We need to take a moment.
Yeah. Moment of silence.
Moment of silence. Okay.
And the hits have just kept coming since then. Like that kicked it off and just boom, 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 the whole time up until now. I mean, she's famous for never having a good season in terms of like the seasons are not good to her.
Yeah. They're very good to us.
They're great to us. But I that's why, I mean, we both interviewed Shannon at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
Right? She was in this very room.
You interviewed her. And then I read your interview, our pal Kevin Fallon interviewer. Yeah. And then my thing came together in about an hour and a half. And I was so thankful for your piece and Kevin's, because I was like, thank fucking God, because it gave me a great sense of where she was. So if people have not read your interview for Vulture, they should check it out immediately, because it was a really, really great dive.
It was fun. It was, I mean, that was my whole angle, was she's never had a a good season? Mm-hmm. How does she feel about, like, because I'm just, obviously we're such big Shannon supporters and I have such sympathy for her that in talking to her, I just was like, so are you okay? Mm-hmm. Like, how are things, like, things, but she's so adamant. She's like, no, it's not poor Shannon. I don't consider anything to be poor Shannon. Like, she's very, she owns it. And she doesn't pity herself at all. Mm. Which I think is why, yes, on paper, it's remarkable the things that she has to endure, but she is well-rounded enough that she's not getting too bogged down by all of that, or exclusively bogged down by all of that. She's able to, like, find the light as well. But it was a really interesting conversation to hear her perspective, because obviously as viewers, I feel like there's almost this consensus about the tumult that she regularly goes through. And she's like, nope, she kind of brushes it off in a way.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/andyscrolls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/andyscrolls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
I feel like the majority of her life has led her up to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's tough because, you know, we have all decided that she, I think many of us decided that she hit rock bottom the night of her DUI. That obviously is a decision that she herself has to make when it comes to any like changes she wants to make in her life as mm-hmm. a result. But I think she acknowledges that that was probably the worst night of her life.
Yeah.
And to see it.
It was the worst night of my life, too.
It was, I woke up to, I don't even know how many texts and DMs from people who said, you were the very first person I thought of. And I was like, what's happening? And then recorded an emergency pod because it was, it was so, to me, so extraordinarily out of character. Like, mm-hmm. I really genuinely, from base level responsibility was like, this is a woman who understands how to take an Uber pool. Like, you don't need to get in the, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, it just was truly shocking. And that is something that Shannon has talked an awful lot about. Mm-hmm. But it just, this episode, and I think this season has raised so many questions. And it's almost like, I honestly don't know how and where to begin. Except it's wild to me how comfortable production has been in really testing her emotional limits.
Mm.
And I felt like in this episode, I saw genuinely legitimate concern from Emily, Gina, Katie, and Dubrow of like, this is not okay. What's happening here is not okay. And I just wonder when we cross the line from like what Alexis and John are doing is not okay to this environment is not okay. You're putting this woman in this position where she has to continue to kind of like suffer through this experience of her ex trying to trigger her.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of these other people, it would be bad enough if it was just Tamara, but it's like, putting Tamara aside, honestly, like the Alexis and John, just this whole thing, maybe not putting Tamara aside, it just feels like it's, to me, it's just overwhelming. It's like, I'm a little, I love this season. I'm mm-hmm. never going to complain about it. Like, I'm genuinely just a little oid about it. I'm a little oid.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the bolder, more questionable things for production to bring in Alexis at this moment. And to be fair, they couldn't have known how dark that would get. But inherently choosing now to, cause she, there had been, they had talked about bringing her back multiple seasons now. So, and Shannon said that she said she knew that she was, in that casting conversation for a few years now. And then once she started dating John, she was like, yep, this is when they're going to do it. And they did. And it makes sense that they would do it because that is an organic connection. It's an, normally the connections to bring people in are positive, but sometimes they're negative, and this is that. But it's a real connection. People did want to see it. I'm glad they did it because that is real. Like, that's happening. Even if Alexis wasn't on the show, Shannon would still be feeling the effects of that because she is friendly with those other cast members, and they are in those same orbits. So I get it, But to see it play out, it's just unbelievably like rough that her that she is going through this at the hands of her company, her workplace.
Yeah. And I just, I mean, I guess the flip side is if John was going to, would John be suing her if she was off TV? I guess that's the question. Mm. Would John be using Shannon or punishing Shannon or however, just litigating with Shannon? Would that still be going on if she was on TV, if she was not on TV?
Mm.
What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like I could see that being the case. I think Alexis being on TV is also a factor in that, that I'm curious about. I wonder if, you know, Alexis goes home and is like, Shannon was awful to me, if that has any impact on retribution of them being like, well, now we're going to go even harder. Right. Oh, that was sort of the comment of gloves are off. So that might have been a factor that they are, via the show, more tethered than they would be if it was a cleaner break of, you know, they broke up and go their separate ways. Shannon keeps doing her job. But Alexis signing back on does kind of keep them somewhat intertwined in a way that would encourage that lawsuit happening, I think.
It's hard to, I think the thing that's like kind of unnerving to me is just how much this is seemingly being presented as entertainment, or maybe that's not it. Maybe it's just the ways that, like, Tamara, for example, is using Shannon's delicate position as entertainment. I don't know if that's different from how Tamara has always been.
I think she's always been this way in some regard, in the sense that she is always very deliberate in making a TV show. And I think I've said this before, where she's one of the few housewives who can effectively produce while on camera.
Mm.
I think her and Lisa Rinna are two where they can actively make a television show while in front of the camera without it being too sweaty or too obvious. So like, I think Tamara sat down and said, this season, I'm going to go after Shannon, and that's my contribution to the show this year. And it is a contribution. She is making good television because she actively decided to do so. And I think it'll be the normal pattern that we see with Tamara. I think we already started to see it because it was just going. I think she realized, like, oh, she's really kicking a horse when they're down sooner than she expected. And so usually we get that sort of like tearful, I'm sorry, I was so mean at the reunion, but we got it sort of mid-season because I think she was like, oh, wait, this is actually so dark. And she might have read the tea leaves. If she didn't during filming, seeing the audience reaction, I think is going to have a big impact and will change her point of view when it comes time for the reunion, because everyone is so against her and so Team Shannon, which I don't think she saw coming.
We don't need to make a total left turn, but it's something that I actually really wanted to deep dive, but I didn't get a chance to talk about it, to record an ep while I was in Rhodey. But Tamara's social this past week has given me pause. First off, I don't know at what point her Instagram stories turned into another remake of Chernobyl, but like, I don't need to, like, I don't, her interest in providing us access to her scales being removed from her body in slow-mo was like not something I needed in my life. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred a Caroline Stanberry, you know, like Eddie crying in a 90-second reel that shows you before, during, and after, where it's not, we don't need to see the nitty-gritty of it. But some of And I don't know Tamara's deal with her doctor and how much she needed to show for whatever arrangement she has. Like, if she has one, I'm not begrudging that at all. I understand the like business and of collabs. And honestly, if you can get a deal, good for you.
Yeah.
But that combined as some sort of something combined with her meltdowns about Vicky, because Vicky said on her podcast some stuff about Tamara needs to leave the show if she wants to have a relationship with her child, which I thought was an overly simplistic view on what's going on with Tamara and the daughter that she's estranged from, and also slightly hypocritical considering some of Victoria's choices. But Tamara's response to that was at such a high rate that while I don't like begrudge being triggered, there was something about it where I was like, this woman is trying to put herself in a specific position here. And I think she does have a sense of the tea leaves.
Oh, for sure.
That we're not on her side. We're not looking at Tamara right now as a sympathetic figure. And she's trying to yank us in that direction. And I just don't know. I'm not invalidating her feelings, but I just think I'm, as you said, she's a really great producer. I'm seeing some of that producing and I'm reminded why she isn't actually one.
I think with that, it was something where she saw this opening where she was like, oh, wait, this is a great opportunity for me to garner sympathy. And I'm sure she felt a lot of those things, but she put out a video before she put out that main one where she basically was like, oh, I saw that Vicky was talking shit about my daughter. Screw her, blah, blah, blah. Very more casual. And then she circled back with, with the big one. And so I was like, and her whole thing was like, I didn't really watch it, but now I watched it and now I'm freaking out. And I'm like, I think she realized like she fumbled the ball with that first reaction because she really could have made a meal out of it. And then she circled back to make a meal out of it. But yeah, it's just funny because it's all, it's like a snake eating its tail where with the Tres Amigas, where Vicky is going after Tamara with the same like brute force that Tamara is going after Shannon, and Tamara goes after Vicky with that same, like, it's just mished all together. There's no, you can't, there's no high ground there. Like,
they're all saying, how dare you use this untouchable topic to try to hurt me? You've crossed a line. The only person that isn't currently doing that is Shannon. Like, there has been the conversation of like, why isn't Shannon bringing up some stuff that she could, not because that's okay, but to say this is how you're, this is how low you're going. And there's,
because Shannon's smarter than both of them.
I think so. And I also think maybe that's not her personality. She might be, she's the kind of, she kind of does war often with a whisper. She is that person who's like going to mumble under her breath these things. She's going to drop a bomb, but she's going to like sort of attempt to effortlessly add it to the conversation.
The shoes.
but for real. The Ferragamos. It's just kind of, it is this kind of sort of perplexing cycle to watch play out, because I think Tamara and Vicky are pretty evenly matched. And I also think the thing that is so fascinating to me is I think Vicky genuinely knows who Tamara is and is in a really great position of not being on the show. So she doesn't have to be afraid of Tamara seeking vengeance for 17 years following, which puts her in a really good spot. I just kind of wonder who else is going to do that. Which is why I'm so thankful for this episode, because Tamara's also coming for Gina. She's dropping in Katie's head that Gina is the person who wanted you to look bad, which is a formula that does not, to me, make sense. But she's, I think, arming some sort of Shan army for the reunion, because she's trying to navigate things to fuck over a couple people at once. I mean, good for her for multitasking. I wonder how many of them are really going to come for her, and if it will be on their own behalf or Shannon's when it comes to the reunion.
I think that'll be a really interesting experiment, sort of, to see how the lines shift post audience reaction, because I think from the get it was so clear, and Shannon could have had a rough season with the audience, you know, she's coming off a DUI like that. And I think she was saying she was very nervous heading into it because, you know, if you're coming off of that, it's fair to think I've lost all goodwill. And oddly enough, the opposite happened, where she is sort of the people's princess of the season. Mm. And Tamra, in trying to go after her, thinking like, oh, people are going to be going after her, turned into probably as big of a supervillain as we've ever seen her in terms of audience response. Like, people, I've never seen people this anti-Tamra as they are right now, and in the way that she's going after Shannon. So I think when she and the other cast members see that audience response and see where the audience kind of allegiance is lying, they could very well follow suit, and we'll see that play out at the reunion.
What I think is interesting from Tamra's perspective, though, is that she's not responding or scaling back. It feels to me like she's tripling down, but she's also trying to get people's attention in other ways. Like, I'm not saying she got plastic surgery as a way to distract. She wanted to get elective surgery, which she has every right to get. Good for you. Because she can afford it. And I think she looks incredible. Not currently, because of the skin falling off of her face, but like, she looks incredible. So whatever decisions she's making, I think, are the right ones for her. And if she's happy with it, go to town. I just think the way that she's trying to reposition, like, I'm not going to necessarily talk about the show, I'm going to talk about other things in my life, and how she's positioning herself as the person being under attack. It's not that she's saying I was wrong in attacking Shannon. She's just trying to add another story on top of this. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, depending on when the reunion films, if this whole Vicky thing, regardless of Vicky being there, is going to be at the forefront of Tamra having a meltdown at the reunion, because she's lost herself. She's, you know, hysterically crying without actual physical tears, which is fascinating, but she is obviously very upset. And I think that will frame potentially a lot of her behavior, or her acknowledgement of it. Is like, now she goes after Shannon at the reunion, it's just because she's so upset because of what Vicky said to her, that she's, you know, lost herself, lost her mind. It's tough.
Well, I think it's too early for her to shift. I feel like the normal pattern with her is she shifts halfway through reunion filming, because she has to get those good reunion moments of keeping what we saw on the season alive. And then halfway through, you start to pivot so that they can end in like a tearful three-way hug, which always brings the Trace Amigas back together. But I think she knows, like, she's made her bed, and that has to be sustained for story reasons until the reunion, where then it kind of plays out in an organic way. Like, she can't show up to the reunion being like, I'm wrong, because then they don't have a reunion. She has to kind of go through the motions of the reunion and then get to a point where closure and apologies happen. And she just, it's a rich cycle that she's well trained in. And I feel like we've seen it sort of from all sides where they kind of do it, but her especially with that timing.
There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndySkrulls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndySkrulls for 15% off today. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is a glow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin. Serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's deluxe kit. The one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/AndySkrulls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/AndySkrulls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/AndySkrulls.
Yeah, it's also, she did go on another little bit of a tangent on her podcast, I think this past week, where she said that one of the hosts of Reality Checked, LaKendra Tookes, had said terrible things about her parenting and called Alexis a whore and all of this other stuff. And Tamara said, you know, you've gone too far. I've contacted Andy, who's investigating it. She said this on her highly rated podcast with Teddy Joe Carrot, which I was like, what's happening? And I went back to the transcript of the episode she was talking about of Reality Checked, and that didn't happen. A caller, and Tamara herself was like, yeah, I listened to the episode. She says all these terrible things. A caller called in and said some stuff. You're on live radio.
Yeah.
I was just on radio, Andy. People called in and said some shit about Tamara and Alexis.
Yeah.
It happens on live radio. Yeah. And so some people said some stuff about Tamara, including essentially things that Vicky herself has said about questions about Tamara and, you know, punching down and going too low. And Tamara has decided to reposition this, fully blaming the host of the radio show, which makes no sense to me at all whatsoever. You're trying to say that this person went too far when really what listeners are acknowledging when they're calling in is like, you're going too far. But what she's trying to do is reposition herself as a victim and then add on to it and be like, I've contacted Andy, who's having an investigation. All of which is like all that Tamara can do at this point is make everything completely overblown. She has to shoot really, really high and go as far as she possibly can, because it's not about acknowledging her behavior toward Shannon. It's only about repositioning how she is treated by the audience.
Yeah, it's theater and she has to play to the back row.
That's what she's doing. That's a great way to put it.
Big swings, and imagine being Andy and picking up your phone and being like, Tim wants me to investigate.
Well, that was what was so weird to me about her saying this on the podcast, because she was so obviously proud of herself. I could see her doing some sort of in her head and maybe in her circle of like, yes, people, of which is just Tamara holding a mirror of herself just being like, I did it. I took, you know, because somebody was coming for me and I just decided that's too far. It makes her look insane. And the thing about Tamara that I respect, at least, is that I thought Tamara understood this was a business. So she understands if she makes moves that are good or bad, people are going to have a negative opinion about it. And Tamara has always told us she understood. She understood she was upset when she was fired, but she understands that this is sort of a game. Like she gets that it's a job. So now her trying to position this as like, it's not just a job, it's my life. One could argue both of those are true. It's just very, very different from how she has responded previously, I think, or maybe similar. I really don't know. It's really ineffective.
And I think, and this might be getting like meta or like multidimensional, but I could also see it where her being in a position where she's saying, this isn't just a job, this isn't just a game, is a game move.
Oh, 100%, I think it's like a game move.
So I think it's funny where she's like, the act of saying like, this is more than just a show, is one of her show moves, is one of those big producerial swings. And that, I mean, with that, it's so funny the way that all of the different housewives like engage with the concept of podcasts, because she did not listen to that episode. She saw a clip on Instagram, I'm sure. And if it's just audio, anyone talking, she's like, that's the host. Like, I'm sure it's the craziest. And that's why I think podcasts are usually safe, because normally they're not listening to all of these podcasts,
right,
searching for their name. If something's in print, they could search for their name, Google Alert or whatever. But podcasts, I feel like normally it's harder for them to get their teeth into. But if it floats around elsewhere, like on Instagram, or if someone tags or if someone DMs them or what was said. So it's a game of telephone too, I think.
Also, what she said happened quite literally did not happen. Like, I literally went to the transcript because I was in my kitchen in Rhode Island, was like, let me have something to do. So I heard about it and she publicly discussed this on her pod. So I was like, let me just see what it's about. It did not happen. It was a caller complaining about her. And if you have an issue with that, you have an issue with a large part of the audience. I actually don't take issue with Tamara having an issue in general, and try to make that make sense in your head. But the way she's trying to reposition this of like, these are the lines a person should never cross, when the entirety of this season is her erasing any possible line and forgiving herself for that. That's Tamara's whole season. She's doing it by not telling Shannon about the video. She's doing that with the repositioning of everything, honestly, involving Alexis, the repositioning of how we view John, the repositioning of Shannon's behavior to be seen as abnormal as humanly possible. She's saying that Alexis and John broke the internet, that everybody was talking about it. Mm-hmm. 5 seconds after she says that Shannon is a psychopath, essentially, for seeing this photo. She's saying Shannon is taking too much time to try to track down John's movements to look at what he's wearing, while at the same time saying everybody was talking about it because it was their red carpet debut. Like, it, none of it makes sense. It's interesting to see who she thinks she can have permission to attack. It's mm-hmm. interesting to see who she thinks she can kind of paint as the bad person in all of this. That's fascinating to me. And I also just think strategically, this person who you're attacking for reasons, again, I truly don't understand, works. Your boss hired this woman because he trusts her. She's talented. She's one of the hosts of Reality Check. She's great.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you think, because what she's doing is questioning Andy mm-hmm. at that point. She's trying to question the host by going to the principal's office. But if I was the principal, I would be like, no, sweetie, first off, that's not what happened. So mm-hmm. you should be very, very clear when you do it. And also what you're trying to attempt to say doesn't make sense. You should understand how going low, if a listener calls in and goes low, you should understand how sometimes that's the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
I thought she was the person who was the least sensitive of everyone. It turns out maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, I think it's the interesting thing about it is this is all so Tamara, but she's usually much better at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where this season, the swings are bigger and the juxtaposition too, I think, is starker, where seeing Shannon, who I think is one of the most grounded housewives that we have, like in reality, like she, of course, she's zany and kooky and a great character, but she's a very grounded and real person going through something unbelievably real right now. And having that juxtaposed with Tamara doing this character, it's almost like in a movie where like a Disney villain is like plopped down in the middle of Times Square in the real world. And it's like seeing those two go head to head, it's bizarre because it is like this real lady versus Maleficent. Mm. And it's bizarre to see. It's just very, it's weird because again, the elements of this have always been there with Tamara, but she's normally better at it. It's normally not this out there.
Yeah, it's also just wild that she really honestly can't take it. Isn't that a characteristic in all of us to a certain extent? We do something, we act poorly, and then when we're shocked when we receive criticism, I think everybody has that inside, outside at some point. Mm-hmm. But if everyone's telling you you're dead, it's time to lie down. Yeah. Everyone is telling her she's dead and she's not fucking lying. She should listen to her new again close friend, Heather Dubrow. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not doing it. She's saying, I'm not down, but I am. And if I am, it's your fault. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. Like, she's blaming other people for her behavior while also trying to continue to normalize her behavior while also doing this sleight of hand of like, don't focus on that. Look over here. There's something else going on. Mm-hmm. And she's allowed to be a complicated person. She's allowed to be a layered person. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder, like, how much of that are we seeing? Because even the stuff we see of her with Sophia, that's not really, like, she's not really giving us a lot. We're not really seeing.
I think she thinks her presence is enough.
Whose presence?
Sophia's presence. Like, just the fact that she's on camera is enough substance for the audience that it feels like we're getting something, because we're getting something we haven't really seen before
right.
in like 10 years. So it's like, oh, wow, this is something. But in reality, it's just sort of them in the kitchen. Like, it's there's right. no story there or insight into her there.
Which is in no way a criticism of her child, by the way.
No.
And her child's decision just like, to participate. No. It's literally saying, like, she's preying on this other person's weaknesses and sensitivities and triggers. Why aren't we seeing any of yours? Like, why is it wrong? I mean, it could be wrong, but like, you're saying it's obscene and not allowed for someone to tap dance closer to yours, but you're fucking stomping all over that lady. So mm-hmm. what else do we have here? What's going on in her life? If her life is only about performing Housewives when she's on the show, because I think off the show, she probably has a really well-rounded life. I genuinely believe that. But when she's on the show, if her life is only about performing Housewives, why can't people call out that performance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we need something to ground us. Like, great, perform Housewives. You're good at it usually. But like, we're not getting any Eddie.
Where is Eddie?
Truly. Like,
I like Eddie.
Same. And I love the scenes of the two of them.
Yes.
Her mom. Like, we're really.
Oh my God, I miss her mom.
Yeah, we're not really getting that much from Tamara. Yeah. And maybe they filmed it. Maybe it got cut. Who knows? But
true.
I think that's also creating some imbalance here with her, where we're only getting the worst of her. And we're not getting those things that we like to see from Tamara, which are, if I think back to what I. misty watercolor memories of Tamara, and think back to those great moments. I like to see her with Eddie, with her mom, with her family, her actual friendships with whoever. Like when it was Vicky, when it was Shannon, when it was. I feel like we're not seeing her as a friend this season with really anybody, in a real way at least. And I feel like that's what we're missing. Where if she wants to perform. Being like villainous to Shannon, you know, you gotta at least balance it out with something somewhat more positive.
All right. Lord knows I need to continue our mention at all. So head on over to part 2 now.